for advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my co-host, Kara. Kara, do you have any news for us?
Yes, I do, starting with zombie cicadas.
Zombie cicadas? Like the bug?
Yeah, like the bug. Right. So, a virulent fungus, a mind-controlling fungus, is infecting cicada populations across the United States. This fungus, and be warned, this is a little bit gruesome, it basically causes huge portions of the cicada's body to slough off, revealing masses of fungus underneath, which releases spores, which infects other cicadas. It then releases a chemical very similar to psychedelic drugs that causes these cicadas to basically go into a mating frenzy, seeking out any other cicadas they find, and thereby infecting them through contact. Researchers do warn, well, do say, however, that this fungus is unlikely to jump to humans as it's spent, you know, millions of years evolving specifically to affect cicadas. After that, we have toxic algae blooms, which have closed all of the Gulf Coast beaches in Mississippi and many in Louisiana as well. These blooms are blue-green algae or cyanobacteria, which produce a number of symptoms, including vomiting, other digestive issues, nausea, that sort of thing. They aren't fatal, but are very unpleasant. Climate scientists have been warning for a long time that warmer ocean temperatures could increase the frequency of and size of these algae blooms, although nutrient runoff from farms is also a culprit in creating this situation. On a similar note, the UN has warned that climate-related catastrophes are now happening at a rate of one a week somewhere in the world and are costing about $520 billion a year, or the cost of Obama's entire stimulus package every 18 months. So, that's something. In more paranormal news, yeah, let's just move on from the depressing stuff. In more paranormal news, one of our former guests, Lon Strickler, has been posting a lot of winged humanoid and winged creature sightings in the last few weeks, so something big appears to be going on in the Midwestern skies, specifically Indiana and Illinois. Just 3 days ago, there was an eyewitness sighting of what appeared to be a pterodactyl. So, you can go to phantomsandmonsters.com to check that out, and if you're in one of those states, keep your eyes on the skies. That's it for news this week. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right, so aside from the winged hominid sighting, I gotta say, it's like the happening out there.
Oh, yeah. Like, I couldn't find a lot on UFOs this week, which is sad because we have a UFO guest, but I did notice there was a lot in just the realm of apocalyptia, you know?
Right, yeah.
Horrible stuff.
I've heard of other funguses, fungi.
Yeah, mind-controlling fungi. Parasites, fungi, whatever. Yeah.
That do this, and it's freaky. It always there's this great zombie horror film called The Girl with All the Gifts that Joe McKenna actually told me I needed to watch, and it's awesome. It's like totally awesome.
Excellent.
It's like it's like in this world that's so inundated with zombie movies, it's like to actually be thrown something interesting is
pretty impressive.
Yeah,
frankly.
It is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and is it a fungus in that movie that
it
got?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So the thing that really stood out to me is it's not just controlling these cicadas' minds. Like, that's old hat. Like, we all know that's
right.
a thing.
Sure.
But it's also, like, melting off pieces of their body.
Plus, it's, like, sexually transmitted disease. So it's, like, got
right.
all sorts of, like, freaky
Well, so
on.
Technically it's airborne, but the exposed fungus mass just
right.
produces spores. But, you know, it's to increase the proximity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just weird. Like, are we going to end up, like, using this for aphrodisiacs, you know, or scientists going to go in there and, like, turn it into aphrodisiac, you know?
So what I read, anyway, is that the chemicals, it's basically the same as just psychedelic drugs, which to cicadas with their simple nervous system, you know, like, they have three modes. They have, like, get food, land on picnickers.
And tripping.
And exactly. And just, you know, full Dionysian yeah. mating frenzy.
Right, right.
Humans are a little more complicated.
Like, yeah. I don't know. I think we make ourselves more complicated. I think ultimately we're probably about as.
Yeah, yeah, maybe so.
But, you know, the climate change, you know, this was something that I was kind of hoping to talk about after the guest in one of our extra segments. And
this is a big issue for me, and I tried not to nail it a lot because I don't want to become the doom preacher person, but
yeah,
like,
I don't want to nail it. I don't want to nail it later, like, trying to convince everybody that it's real, because that's not the case.
That's a sucker's game, frankly.
But I do have something, so, you know, stick around. I have a topic I want to discuss there. And then with Lon Strickler, man, sounds like a good excuse to get him back on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if he's got a bunch of new sightings that he can share with us and that we can
talk about. There's always interesting stuff on phantomsandmonsters.com. Basically, it's anonymous eyewitness sightings. Mm-hmm. So however much stock you put in that. Frankly, after having talked with Lon Strickler, I'm inclined to think that the vetting process is reasonable and that one can trust a lot of these sightings.
I don't think he's just going through, like, deciding that he's going to believe anything posted.
No, absolutely not.
But
I feel like a lot of people would look at the site and be like, like, they would dismiss it, but I'm saying don't, basically.
Right, yeah. I don't know, what's your take on anonymous posts? I mean, especially on something that's so...
Well, so it's not anonymous posts. Like, Lon Strickler, who writes a lot of the stuff. He knows who the people are.
I see.
But he keeps...
So he's vetting the people and then making them anonymous.
Yeah, exactly. So it... I mean, my issue with that is basically it depends to a huge extent on how much you trust the guy doing it.
Right.
And I trust Lon Strickler.
Right.
But I wouldn't necessarily trust anyone who used the same methods.
Right. And for those of you listening, Lon was a guest on our show when we talked about Mothman.
About Mothman. And, yeah, which is one of his sort of big things.
And definitely Kara's favorite cryptid.
Oh yeah, I have a bit of a crush on Mothman.
I have a crush on Mothman. I want to have like a million of his babies.
A little bit, yeah.
Which is how many moths I have.
Right.
But I'm excited with that. You know, the thing that I like so much about Mothman and having Lon on is that there's, with Mothman, there's not a huge mythology that's been created behind it.
Yeah, it's just weird, totally inexplicable thing.
Right, it's being hucked factoids and being hucked stories, and then you're just like, oh, what is that?
What am I going to do with this?
Right, you know, how much faith, how much stock can I put in such a over-the-top topic?
Right. Frankly, I think the sightings are unbelievable, but so there's so many of them that I can't dismiss them.
Right, and group sightings.
Exactly.
Right. All right, so tonight's guest is returning William Pullen. He went to the Roswell Festival.
UFO Festival.
Roswell UFO Festival, and he's going to update us and tell us all about it. Upon our return, we have William Pullen, so come on back.
Wake up! Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen. William, do we have you there with us?
I am here. How's everything in California?
Not bad. A little behind.
Same as it always is.
No, it's about a month. It's about a month behind, which puts us in this weird situation where everything dries out later and then it's all windy as we go into autumn. And that's what happened last year, is the fires happened way late in the season because...
That's horrible.
Because...
Yeah. you guys are good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's barely hit 100 here yet, so...
Yeah, we're just preparing for the inevitable flaming inferno later.
That's pretty good.
For now.
It hasn't hit 100 in San Antonio yet either, so we're crossing our fingers.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
Does it get that hot there? I didn't know that.
It does. Usually we have a couple hundred degree days by mid-June, and so far so good. Nothing's happening, so...
All right, yeah. So we are talking about your trip to the Roswell UFO Festival. And, man, every time I see you doing this, I guess we've known each other for about 2 years now, so I've seen you go two or three times, and and man, it looks so much fun. It looks so cool. And
it is, yeah.
You know, there's something about a road trip and motels, and I don't know, I like all that stuff. It just sounds so much fun. But, you know, how big is this thing? How big are we talking?
It's a huge cash cow for the city of Roswell. The middle Saturday of last year's festival was the busiest day the UFO Museum had had in its entire history. And the 70th anniversary festival, which was 2 years ago, was the most well-attended festival they've had. It's been going on since 1995, I believe. It's a huge deal. The population of Roswell almost doubles over that weekend.
Oh, well. Yeah, so I guess I'm assuming a big cash cow for them is, I assume it's a fairly small city.
It is. I don't have a population number, but it's really a large town.
Right, yeah.
There's a better description, yeah. It's not that big, no.
Right, so I think this is probably a little tongue-in-cheek here, but I think what everybody would want to know, everybody who's listening to this, especially on the radio, you know, on the internet, it's probably more apt to be people who care
about 50,000, FYI.
Oh, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially if it doubles.
Yeah,
that is a lot of people.
About half of Reading, so.
Yeah, because when I take the kids and we go to these anime conventions, like the big Fanime one in San Jose is like 40,000 people, and that's a lot of people, you know, especially when they're all dressed like freaks. You know? Like,
yeah, so this
true.
is 10,000 more than
that. Right, you know, it's amazing how a cardboard Godzilla costume can, like, triple your mass in the elevator when we're trying to go down with other people.
Outstanding.
So I think that's what a lot of people probably want to know who aren't too familiar with this stuff. It's like, how freaky is this, you know? Because being a fan of this stuff, I know that it's a lot of researchers and a lot of sort of straight-laced people who are going there doing the stuff, crunching some numbers, you know, kind of, you know, being somewhat scientific about it. But, I mean, you know, are there a lot of freaks in the street? You know, what's going on?
There are. The International UFO Museum, they organize the lectures and presentations by all the scientifically minded and some of the less scientifically minded presenters. So that's all the museum. The city of Roswell organizes the actual festival, which is outside. They block off about a 3-block length of Main Street, which runs in front of the Roswell Museum. They have family-friendly activities, pet contests, they have a pet costume contest, I should say, an adult costume contest. They have an alien parade, which I believe is Saturday night, vendors with all sorts of wares, food, drinks. It's a little of both. You can enjoy the scientific angle if you're serious about UFOs, and if you're taking the entire family, they can enjoy the gimmicky, less serious take on UFOs. So it's a little
man, I love it. I totally, you know, because I was like trying to think, like, how am I going to get my wife to go to this thing? But, I mean, if I tell her, like, you know, basically pet competitions, which frankly I'm sure Pug wins every year, you know, given the subject matter.
Deal.
You know, and then, you know, drink deals and parades in the streets, you know, my wife's in, you know.
That's okay, I'm throwing the pitch. Go. Yeah.
Right. So, so you guys go every year. Is it just you, and do you try to wrangle some people up, or you got yourself a team?
I go by myself. This year, my mom's health was pretty good, so I dragged her out of her house to go to Roswell, and she enjoyed the trip. And I spent all my time in the museum. I have never gone to explore the festival. I've seen it from afar. But my days are, I wake up early, arrive at the museum, I'm there for all the lectures, and I go back to my hotel room. That's all I do.
I know you enjoy a pint every once in a while, so you go there and you really just do all the UFO stuff and ignore all that. And
I'm ashamed to admit, as a green-blooded Irishman, I've never had a beer in Roswell during the festival.
Oh, that's funny. All right, well, if I go,
it's all about the research, yeah.
Well, that's probably good, because I'm sure that's how the aliens, like, capture people. They drug the drinks.
Perhaps. But it's a load of fun for whatever angle you have on UFOs. If you were to just go there and bring the family, and it's a load of fun for everybody. So it's very well run, too. It's very professionally run, and I have not ever. I've never been exposed to anybody who's had a negative take on it. I don't recall anybody going and not enjoying themselves. So, it's a guaranteed good time.
So, when it comes to these speakers, you're saying that the UFO Museum actually does all the booking and stuff like that. So, for the more serious side of this, when it comes to the speakers, do they tend to go with more nuts and bolts researchers or this sort of spiritual side of ufology, or are they really trying to sort of get a good collection?
The original slate of speakers, which started in the mid-90s, was Stan Friedman, Kevin Randall, Don Schmidt, Tom Carey, which are, they're all kind of nuts and bolts, more scientifically minded speakers. Donald Burleson, who is a state director of MUFON, he's a university trained mathematician, he speaks there. Frank Kimbler, he's assistant professor of geology at the New Mexico Military Institute, he gives presentations there. His specialization is looking for physical evidence of the crash. So he's all about the science. And so they've got that block of speakers, and then this year they had Travis Walton, who's there every year, for the individuals that are more interested in abductions. Mike Barra, who's known for Ancient Aliens, was there. I've never seen him there before. Tom Reed, Kathleen Martin. So it's not just all nuts and bolts, but they kind of spread it out. But this year they had, I believe it was 12 speakers. I might be overstating that number, but they do a little of everything. But and contrary to popular belief, the nuts and bolts speakers, the ones that have done the most research on Roswell, the majority of their presentations are not about Roswell. They have expanded their horizons a bit over the years.
I figured, and Kara and I were talking about that a little bit before the show, that obviously, you know, for one, we've had you on to discuss Roswell specifically.
Yeah.
And
you've got to move on from Roswell.
Yeah, in our discussions about it, we've kind of brought up that Roswell, the factoids have been exhausted. This is how I feel. I don't mean to put this on anybody else, but I kind of feel like what we know about Roswell is really kind of what we're going to know at this point.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that would change would be recovery of military documentation. Mm-hmm. That's about it. Or if Mr. Kimbler, I should call him Frank because he's a good friend, if he's able to recover something, a physical piece of evidence which is truly anomalous, where the isotopes really are non-terrestrial. Those are the two avenues. Other than that, virtually every first-hand witness is either, I hate to say this, is very uncouth, but they're either on their deathbed or they've already passed on. So that avenue is done.
Yeah. No.
And there's only so much you can do. So the only options are documentation or physical evidence. Otherwise, other than that, we're just rehashing it over and over, which is not a negative statement. That's just how it is.
Yeah. And although I have to say I'm pretty amazed at how well the government actually keeps paperwork. For redacting things and hiding things, that, and then years later they come out with it, and I'm just like, whoa, they actually kept that paperwork for like 50 years. They're like my wife with a Target receipt, man. That is like, that's crazy. You know, so
they
maybe,
do. I mean,
maybe we will find something.
It's an eternal search for a paper trail. I mean, everything the military has done by the book, and you literally have to, there's a procedure for every single thing you do. And there's been a paper trail established that whatever they recovered there, northwest of Roswell, was flown eventually to Wright Field in Dayton, Ohio. There's a paper trail to confirm that transpired. As to what they actually transferred over to Wright Field, that's the question. I mean, of the nuts and bolts speakers in Roswell, I can't think of a single one who is 100% convinced it's extraterrestrial.
Right.
They all feel that the evidence, the data leads you to that, but they all realize you can't prove it without, again, physical evidence or documentation. So, but that's where we're at. We're looking for paperwork. We're looking for paper trail, and the government does keep records of everything.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of finding it.
It's just amazing. All right. Well, William, we're coming up on break here. When we come back, I want to find out from you, the speakers that you watched, you know, which ones or one in particular really sort of resonated with you. What was your fave? When we come back here on Radio Wasteland, we're talking about the UFO Festival in Roswell with our guest, William Pullen. So come on back.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients.
Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest William Pullen. We're talking about the Roswell UFO Festival. All right. So you go there. You're a teetotaler while you're there, and you know. So you know, who'd you see that was really left the biggest impression on you? With okay, there's I figure there's two people that you saw that left the biggest impression on you. There's the fanboy person that you saw where you're like, oh my god, I saw that person, and then there's the person who left the biggest impact on you with information. Who's your fanboy person that you saw?
They're one and the same. It's Kevin Randall.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
Kevin Randall had not been to Roswell since 2012, and I hadn't seen him. Last time I saw him was in 2014 in Edinburgh, Texas. There was a conference there he appeared at. He really doesn't travel at all anymore. He does podcasts and radio shows and writes, but doesn't travel.
Well, I'm not familiar with Kevin Randall. Why don't you give us the rundown on who he is?
Kevin Randall has been investigating UFOs since the 60s. He was a field investigator for APRO, the Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization, which is now defunct. He was asked by Don Schmidt in the late 80s to start investigating the Roswell events, and they wrote two books, UFO Crash at Roswell from 91 and The Truth About UFO Crash at Roswell in 94. They don't work together anymore, but they're still friends. But he's one of the more objectively skeptical guys about Roswell. He's all data-driven. And so he's got this reputation as being difficult. I don't find him difficult. He just sticks to the facts, and he sticks to the data. And having not seen him, I've had email conversations with him over the years. I keep in touch with him, but it's different than having face-to-face interactions.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time with him this weekend. I'm guilty of spending an inordinate amount of time with him, but I was trying to catch up after all these years. I don't know if he's coming back either, so it may be the last time I see him. So
I see. So he's sort of the old school expert on everything Roswell, I'm guessing.
I would extend everything UFO.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's an extremely knowledgeable man. He hasn't focused on Roswell in a good decade. He's had a wide diversity of cases he looked at. He was 100% Roswell for about, I guess since the late 80s till about maybe the late 90s, I guess. And then now he's diversified. He was diversified before. But when Don Schmidt asked him to work together on Roswell, that was their singular focus. And that's not the case anymore. So, if I want to find out the data concerning the case, I seek him out, really. I mean, he's really, really kind of a grounded guy.
So he was speaking at the event?
Yes, he gave two lectures, and he appeared at the both Roswell panels that finished up Saturday and Sunday. Of course, he was at his table.
When you've been researching forever and you know everything, what did this guy talk about?
First lecture was on Roswell in the 21st century, which was... And that was a book he wrote that came out in 2016, which was a huge, a voluminous summary of all the data about Roswell and debunks all the false theories and makes people aware of the charlatans and the liars concerning the case and just looks at the data that's held up under scrutiny. And he got a lot of pushback for that book, by the way, because he upset a lot of people with that book, but it was just data. It was just data. And he didn't draw any conclusions. He just presented the data. And then his second talk was, ironically, ufology without Roswell. He took a look at some of the other stronger cases and avoided mentioning Roswell for an entire hour. And that was a fascinating lecture. And then during the panel, he was he's got a great sense of humor. So he and Don Schmidt had a good rapport going. Yeah, they were playing off each other quite a bit during the panel, and in a serious way they were. So, but yeah, he gave two lectures.
So I've never been to one of these things, but I assume that the panel has open questions from the audience.
Yes, usually the moderator, and this year it was Alejandro Rojas, and he handed out, or no, he didn't hand out. He encouraged people to come up and write on little sticky notes questions they had. So after the introductions, which lasted about 10 minutes, all the questions were audience questions.
Nice.
And that was a tradition that was started last year by Mr. Joel Buckman. So that went really well. And every question he asked, every one of the panelists gave their take on it. Oh. And then they would proceed to the next question. So that went really well.
Were there any questions / answers that kind of stood out to you?
Like, are you going into this stuff already knowing everything, William? Or...
No, not at all. But it was interesting what questions weren't asked. There weren't any questions asked about this recent Pentagon Navy TTSA scenario. Nobody asked about that.
There was one
question they kind of asked about disclosure, which I expected. But most of them were about them on a personal level. I know the question I asked, and I had to write out a question. I couldn't sit on my hands. My question was, how has investigating Roswell affected your other UFO investigations? Because all these guys have done work on other cases, and they said it hasn't affected their approach at all. They were approached this case like all the others, as skeptical as possible without being a debunker, which I find refreshing. They didn't believe this was extraterrestrial going in. They just looked at the data, and then it led them to believe that, to a greater or lesser extent, it led them all to believe that that seems to explain the data the best, but you can't prove it without a piece of the craft. You can't prove it. I guess that's a simple way to say it. So
right, you know, you and I have discussed before how I'm going to use my own harsh terminology, so I'm not going to put it on William, but I feel that the UFO research community has really been sort of like infected by this sort of religion and mythology thing, where people want to build on what they consider to be truths and stuff like that. So I can't help but to think that there were a
inundated, hijacked.
No, infected.
Infected. Okay.
All right. It's a cancer on the UFO community. Yeah. But I can't. When you said that people handed in the sticky notes, I couldn't help but to think that there had to be some crazy sticky notes in there. Was there anything that was just like, oh my God, that made the panel just go, oh my God?
There was one. It was one question where it was, and I saw the person who wrote it. It was a younger person. This young woman was under 30. So I immediately thought, well, she's probably not. The nuts and bolts thing, it seems to be the more grounded observers or researchers tend to be above a certain age.
Right.
Like my age or above, and I'm going to date myself, and I'm 50.
Right.
Or 51, yeah. So younger than me, like younger than 40, they tend to be more in tune with that somewhat more speculative, less physical, more new age, kind of religious kind of angle or what have you.
They're vectors for the infection.
Yeah. But the question was, what are the members' thoughts of the Billy Meyer photographs?
What's the Billy Meyer photograph?
Billy Meyer is this gentleman. I think he's in Switzerland. And he has been producing UFO photographs. I mean, clear, crystal clear UFO photographs since the mid-70s. And he feels, he professes that these crafts are coming from the Pleiades star system. I don't know how many hundreds of light years away that is.
Well, that is a clear photograph, if they can pick that up.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other program. Yeah. But Alejandro Rojas started with Kevin Randall, because Kevin immediately started smiling. And I apologize for using a four-letter word, but Kevin said, oh, well, Billy Meyer's full of crap. That's all I have to say. And he put his microphone down.
Oh, really?
Every other person on the panel said the same thing, but wasn't as blunt as Mr. Randall was, except for Paul Davids. Paul Davids was there. He was the executive producer of the Roswell movie back in '94, which was shown on Showtime, and he was there because it was the 25th anniversary of that film coming out. So he was kind of not defending that, but he was taking a less harsh take on it. But no, Randall, Kevin told him how I was, and I agree. I gave him a little standing ovation after that. So, yeah,
because I can't, you know, I imagine people asking all these, like, nuts and bolts question and hearing somebody at the back stand up and going, but what about the crystals? You know, it's like, you know, and like, it's like, I mean, I'm down with that. I mean, I'm down I'm not opposed to people's belief or their faith or anything like that, but
they
don't understand that it's two different conversations.
Yeah, if you ask a bunch of nuts and bolts panelists about, you know, the crystals or whatever, like, what do you expect they're going to say?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
That's not who you ask about that stuff.
All right. William, sorry to cut you off, but we're coming up on a break here. We got one more segment when we come back, so we got more with you. And you're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland talking about the Roswell UFO Festival. You don't want to miss out, so come on back and all that.
Wake up each morning, wonder where you are. I go to bed each night and wonder who you are. Am I so uptight? And do you feel alright? I wonder if you are.
difficult.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Come on, let's sit down together. I could stay here forever. Friendly smiles, family and friends, place piled high with happiness. Laughter time, it feels like home to me. Can't explain it, you just have to see. Hey, hey, Black Bear feels like home.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The Military Religious Freedom Foundation has sued a veterans hospital in New Hampshire over a Bible which is part of a POW MIA display in the lobby. Now, the group claims the Bible doesn't represent the diversity of faith of veterans using the facility. And further, it violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Well, the Veterans Administration responds that this Bible, which belonged to a World War II POW, proudly shows strength of faith, which is so vital for service members. To keep updated on similar cases, visit pji.org.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest William Pullen. We're talking about the Roswell UFO Festival. I have a terrible memory. So, you know, ufology is such a big topic that's constantly just being explored. You know, it kind of makes you wonder, is it just being inundated with new people who are relearning what we know? So, Kara had a good idea of a question here to ask you.
Yeah.
And that is, why don't you ask away, Kara?
Yeah, so, well, we were talking about how Roswell discourse has been kind of like rehashing the facts because, frankly, you just need new evidence to go anywhere new. But I'm wondering, with broader ufology, what new facts and new evidence is sort of causing a buzz these days? What are people talking about that's changing the discourse?
You know, people are talking about this whole Pentagon program, Navy video, CBSA scenario, where
tic-tac UFOs.
Videos are being released, documentation is being released. People are doing one or two things, actually just one thing. They're taking up positions. They're either pro that scenario or anti the scenario. They're very polarized. There's no gray area. And no one's being cautious enough to really look at the data and say, is this legitimate, or are we just being pulled around by our noses or what have you? And that's kind of all the talk now.
Yeah.
As far as sightings, I mean, there's sightings all the time. Of course, the majority of them, the vast majority, are not extraterrestrial, but sightings are there, and it's just increasing the log of data we have. But that's pretty much what's the topic of conversation in the UFO community right now. Yeah, that's about it, really.
I know the Washington Post has gotten a fair amount of criticism for its UFO stories. People are like, well, you know, how much stock can you put in the word of basically this one source, Luis Elizondo, I think, or are these sightings from 2015, et cetera, legitimate, or are they computer glitches, that kind of thing? I'm curious as to sort of what your take on it is at this point.
I don't find any of the data striking. I mean, everyone was surprised in the community, meaning the UFO community, that the Navy or the military was investigating UFOs. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, that's not a surprise. And I would be surprised if they weren't. So I didn't find that statement and it wasn't anything new. Their videos were released, and the first thing I thought was, well, how many other times have gun camera videos been not released to the public? How much other evidence is there of anomalous activity? I mean, our military pilots are up there all the time. They're bound to see things they can't explain, which doesn't mean they're alien. It just means they're unexplained. They're literally UFOs. They're things in the air they can't explain, which doesn't get you to alien, but for some people it does. I'm very cautious. Everyone's immediately saying, well, this is on our way to disclosure. We're going to know everything, this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, you know, we've been here every few years, this happens. And disclosure has never happened.
Right.
So I'm very cautious. Saying, okay, let's just wait and see what happens. But, I get pushback professionally about it. They say, well, why don't you believe this? Why don't you believe that? I say, well, because I've been doing this 30 years and this is like every 3 years and nothing happens. So it's kind of the same thing, but, I mean, we don't know. We'll see what happens. So,
right. Yeah. You know, two things you said there definitely got my mind thinking. One is the potential cherry picking. Like you're saying, it's like, when in history has the government said, like, hey, we got a bunch of good stuff here. Let's show them our best stuff. You know, it's like, how often does that happen? They're hiding the best stuff. They're showing us the stuff on the top that they can sort of...
That's a little bit dodgy.
Right. The stuff that's able to be handled by us with... is weird that for some reason I am considered less able to handle something than a military guy. You know, I've raised three kids, man. My house was a war zone. You know, and then the other thing was you're saying that we were split. You know, and that really sort of caught me because our whole society is just so incredibly split right now, and then they're doing it on this topic. We notice it on other topics. You know, it was just kind of interesting to me that basically people are tribing up and getting in their camps more so than actually trying to figure anything out at this point. I guess it was more of a personal statement.
I recall I was with you guys last year, and we discussed this about the community. It's very polarized. Everyone's got their positions. You know, going back to the disclosure thing and going back to Kevin Randall, I heard Randall say on a podcast, and he was asked about disclosure, and his quote was, there is no motivation for the government or the military to disclose anything that may have at this point. I thought that says it all right there. The government and the military, I cannot imagine they would ever disclose anything they might have. We can't force them to do that. So it would take an event to change that scenario. I mean, I'm talking like a large crash or a landing that no one could deny, you know, in a metropolitan area. But everyone's taking up positions and not really thinking through what they're defending. You're exactly right.
What about like whistleblowers, for instance? I see a lot of disclosure discourse sort of centering on the idea that some guy in the government is going to pull an Edward Snowden and dump the UFO files on us. But
when that happens, the first thing I do is background check that person.
Right.
You know, are they who they say they are? Do they hold that position? Do they serve in those positions they claim they are at? And then whatever documentation they bring forth, the first thing I think of was, okay, where's the providence? Where did this data originate? I should be able to FOIA request that. and find out what military government agency created the documents, so I can trace that data back. And a lot of these documents, you can't do that. It originates from some individual that released it, but are you able to track it back to the government agency that actually created it? Usually you can't. And that, for me, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
For some in the community, and I'm being kind, some, but for most in the UFO community, that's not a red flag at all, which I find very troubling, but that's just me. So.
Yeah. Well, as you say, we've been here before. And
yeah,
this has happened before.
And luckily, it's not just you. You know, luckily, we do have people holding on to the credibility of looking at this stuff. You know, this kind of goes back to my saying being infected by the crazies. You know, it's like they need somebody soberly looking at this stuff, saying like, okay, maybe, you know. And that's what that's what a smart, sober person would do, is look at some of this stuff and say, okay, maybe, you know, and maybe should be enough for the science community. I mean,
yeah, just a cautious step back to examine what's happening, and then go from there. That's my take on it. I agree. So.
All right. Well, here we are. We're at the end of the show. We have been listening to William Pullen. William, why don't you tell people about your Facebook group so that we can get that out there? Both Kara and I are members, of course.
Naturally.
Of course. you can find me on Facebook. My objective group about UFOs is entitled You For Real, A Historical Review. It's an objective review of the history of UFOs. And I have a blog on Facebook entitled Cleverly William Pullen, which is subjective, where I give my personal opinions about scenarios in the UFO community, UFO cases, and whatnot. So everyone can find me at those two platforms.
All right. Well, William, it's always great to have you on. I'd have to say this is our fifth or sixth.
we've had you a bunch of times.
Sure, we'll
but it's always
you
great.
On again.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to William Pullen right here on Radio Wasteland. So, you know, thanks for checking us out.
When I look out my window, many sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be. That is strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. Do you think I see some cat looking over his shoulder at me? And he's strange, sure is strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. French President Emmanuel Macron is sending his chief diplomatic advisor to Iran following